Freaky.
Well, welcome back to Tooth and Egg Gaming, starring Zach, Matt, Rob, and Jay.
Yeah.
And we are back. Hello. Back from America 250 to discuss American Ninja.
Yeah. God bless America and the Philippines.
And ninjas.
Sure. And also playing Fortnite. But before we get to that, as always, we have Rob's movie corner. Oh. So I hope you guys came prepared.
Prepared as ever. I did see a movie.
I remember when I can go first if you guys don't mind.
Well, why don't we get Matt to go first? Because Matt has to.
You might have to step out. Okay, yeah. So go ahead, dude.
I saw Toy Story 5.
Without the kids. No way, it did with the kids.
Definitely with the kids. And it was good.
Was it better than 4?
I didn't see 4.
Okay.
So
I was under.
And your kids are fans.
Is Forky in it? Were you confused? Like, who is this Forky?
No, I've heard of Forky and his love knife lady or whatever. He was not, I would say, he was barely in it. So if you're big Forky fans, go watch 4 again, I guess. But as a result, it was not. I didn't feel like we needed to have seen 4 in order to understand 5. Like, Woody wasn't there. He was off, like, rescuing toys, but then he came back, like, pretty much immediately. And it all made sense.
I heard you have to watch 2, though, just because there's a lot of Jesse.
Well, yeah, but of course you've seen Toy Story. Everybody's seen Toy Story 2.
I guess that's
true. Toy Story 2.
Unless sociopaths, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I need this one.
Is Bo Peep the main character again?
No, Jesse's the main character, and people were saying Woody didn't even really need, like, they brought Woody back from his, like, calling or whatever. But they really didn't need to. Jesse could have carried the movie perfectly well on.
Wow.
Ouch.
What? I'm not taking Woody. He's had plenty of his own movies.
Is he, are you...
People say that to, like, Rocky Balboa. He's like, why are you in so many freaking Rocky movies, Rocky?
It's not the Woody movie. It's Toy Story.
Right. I mean, it could go on forever if you have new toys.
Yeah.
To replace...
We did, like, my family liked the philosophy that screens are bad. That's, like, the message of the movie.
Hmm.
Do they agree with the message?
Does who agree? My children? They're well indoctrinated into they take it as a point of pride that they don't do a lot of screens. So they do a little bit, but not a lot.
Well, we're all only human. Okay. I can go next. So for Spy-Fi this week, we did a movie called Final Score. Not The Final Score. Actually, I'm sorry, let me change what I said. It wasn't a movie, it was content.
Content.
That.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so it was Die Hard in a soccer stadium with Dave Bautista as John McClane, and it was not great, but also not terrible. You know, there's things to like. Also, Pierce Brosnan is in it and completely wasted. He's in it for like 5 minutes.
Nice.
Who's he play?
He plays the brother of the villain, who's played by not Ray. Is it Ray Donovan? Ray something.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Liev Schreiber.
Ray Stevenson.
Oh, Ray Stevenson.
Yeah. Wait, who I asked, like, away? Didn't he die?
Yeah.
So I guess the movie was filmed a long time ago. But something I'd like to. I had a realization that Dave Bautista should have played Wolverine because he's like a little meatball of a man crashing his way through the world. Yeah. That's true.
Well, can you tell us more?
Okay, so. So these terrorists take over a soccer stadium because they want to find Pierce Brosnan, and they, like, put all the C4 under the ground, and it's up to one man, Dave Bautista, to stop them and also save his, like, sort of pseudo-daughter. And what I appreciate was that he didn't do anything that isn't too far outside the realm of reality. I would say it's slightly more grounded than Die Hard, for example.
More grounded than Die Hard?
Yeah, in terms of the stunts that he does.
Interesting.
And the villains are very stereotypical Russians, including a girl named Tatiana, which I found funny. Yep.
Nice. Wait, why?
There's too many. And like, I actually have already forgotten the name.
Or She-Hulk?
What's in Rocky and Bullwinkle? What's her name? Oh, Natalia.
Natasha.
Natasha.
So I saw that. At least it was short. I'm trying to think.
How short was it?
Is an hour and 45 minutes.
American Ninja short.
Yeah, it's not quite as short as American Ninja.
Which was also took forever.
What?
Whoa.
One step at a time. Don't skip ahead. And Rob, where are you guys?
Still.
I'll do 2 because I always want to.
You can do 3. You can take mine.
I honestly just can't even think of a third one right now.
Take mine.
I'll take yours. Wow.
Please do.
That's assuming you saw something, Jay. But okay.
Just, wait.
Yeah.
Since I didn't,
this is Jay's time. Jay's time. You can have it.
I think a third one I will. But no, I'll start with the first. I saw an old one on old Tubi. Or actually, no, you know, it felt like a Tubi movie. But no, actually, I saw it on Sony Core, which you get when you have PlayStation Plus account, which I recommend if you have a PlayStation, because otherwise the PlayStation barely functions without that.
Wait, PlayStation 3 if you have PlayStation?
No, Sony Core, it's called. Huh. It has like about 100-ish free movies a month, but they're pretty good. They have like, they'll have like The Social Network and some other pretty big Sony movies like Moneyball or whatever. Pretty good. Oh, there's some shield. So yeah, I saw the movie called Last Supper, and it's not a religious flick. it was made in 95. It's got a pretty stacked cast, including Mr. Ron Perlman before he got famous-ish with Hellboy. And he's basically like playing like Rush Limbaugh. And they like the makers even pretty much said that. But the plot is basically a bunch of liberals decide that they're sick of those gosh darn conservatives, and like they're like five college graduate friends, and they just start
they start fighting the conservatives.
Yeah, they like these five college graduates, grad students, basically start, they accidentally kill one conservative, and they're like, oh, that was pretty easy. And then they just like get kind of addicted to it, and they just start inviting a bunch of conservatives over, killing them, burying the bodies, and then it just keeps escalating from there. And it results in a lot of cameos too. Like the conservatives like include like Mark Harmon, Jason Alexander from Seinfeld, Bill Paxton's the first one. He has a pretty good scene. And like the five grad students, I mean, they're like semi-famous actors. The most famous is definitely Cameron Diaz, like maybe like a year after The Mask. But it's a fairly entertaining movie. It doesn't really make sense how quickly they like go from like being traumatized about having to kill one person and hiding a body to being like 10 minutes later, just, yeah, let's just kill everyone. But you just kind of go with it because it's like 25%, 50% comedy. But yeah, anyway, it's a decent enough movie.
This is an interesting choice following that.
Yeah, and it does kind of foretell like how pissed off the other sides are at each other. Because it was kind of like around the time of like Gingrich, people got a little bit more pissed off at each other.
Is it like a conservative movie where it's like the liberals are mean to us?
No, it's definitely like the conservatives come across as like idiots, and like the liberals, like they try to make it because they're the protagonists, the liberals, so like they do try to make like, they're like, oh, we have no choice but to kill this person. He like, he's like not just pro abortion, but like pro, like, I don't know, just like kill the mother, and like, I don't know. They just go extreme on like the conservatives just to make them seem more evil than they are.
So relevant to today.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's an interesting movie at least. And the second movie I want to say, I saw just a couple days ago, I saw The Invite with Mr. Seth Rogen, among others, with Olivia Wilde. She directed it, and Edward Norton and Penelope Cruz. It's just like a four people in a room talking movie, one of those, basically. And there's kind of like it's not even a twist. It's just like, the trailer's kind of high what it's about, even though I kind of figured based on what they were talking about in the trailer. Yeah, it's just, you know, an offer is made and like, you know, things have to be decided if they're gonna do it and whatever. But it's just like two couples and their neighbors. Even my description of it, I feel like you can almost like put two and two together here. But yeah, it's a pretty fun flick. It's like it's a remake of like a Spanish movie, and it's co-written by Rashida Jones from like Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, she writes a fair amount. I think she did.
She writes a lot.
She did Toy Story 4, if I'm not mistaken. she did some Pixar. But yeah, it's fun. It really is just four people talking for the most part, but they're four good actors. You know, I guess it raises, it is like a very, like, I want to say, I mean, people are calling it like a millennial movie, but like, I'm thinking about it now. I'm just like, well, Edward Norton's definitely Gen X, and Penelope Cruz probably is too.
Yeah, how is it a millennial movie?
I think because like Seth Rogen and Olivia Wilde are millennial, and just like they're like kind of like, it's kind of that we're married, but like, you know, 10, 15 years in or whatever, and like the malaise is starting, and I don't know. Just like, I don't even know how to
describe
it. But yeah, it's a fun movie that probably could have been funnier, in my opinion. It's the mark enough that I'll recommend it.
And you like seem like thoughtful movies this time around.
Well, I got to balance out The Odyssey that's coming out this weekend.
Are you definitely going to see it? I could be not. It's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I'm seeing it one way or another. Yeah, I think I do have plans to see it.
Okay. Gru says she wants to see it, but she wants to see the first one first. I'm like, there is no first one.
Can we get back to the circle, you guys?
Storm's coming in.
Well, isn't that am I crazy? Isn't the Trojan Horse, isn't that
the prequel Trojan
to
Horse story?
Yeah, yeah.
The prequel to the Odyssey.
You mean Troy?
He means the Iliad.
The Iliad, thank you. Yes.
But there is no Iliad movie.
There's no Iliad movie. I think Troy is basically the Iliad, isn't it?
I think the Troy is Iliad.
Watch out, guys. Enemies around.
The Odyssey is the more fun one because it's got Cyclops and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You just want Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
It's better. And probably has better music.
All right, should we start talking about American Ninja?
Doesn't Rob have another movie?
No, I really don't. Did Matt see?
You're a liar.
American Ninja?
Yes, I'm assuming so. They had some...
Oh, right, he was complaining about it. That's right.
Okay, so the first observation I have is that there's four of them.
Yeah.
Jay, have you seen them all?
I have.
Do they all start the same? Of course I
have. So, Dudikoff was not in number three because it was filmed in South Africa and he was anti-apartheid. So he did not support the fact that they were filmed in South Africa.
Yeah.
But once they came back, he came back.
That's good. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't have much else going on.
He was tapped to be like the action star of the 80s. Like, he was going to be like the person. And when three hit and he decided not to do it, he started getting slowly filtered out of movie opportunities.
I mean, the 80s was quite the time for action heroes.
Yeah.
Like, you really think he could have competed with like Jean-Claude Van Damme and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It was pre Jean-Claude being big.
Uh huh. Stallone.
And I mean, 85, 80. This was 86, I think, was when it officially released. So, yeah. I mean, it was right around that time, but like, yeah, no. Like, probably not Stallone, but like, Stallone was not known for his action movies. He was known for other stuff. Like, Stallone was still early in his career as well. Like, Stallone didn't make it big until like he made Rocky and like forced his way into the scene.
Yeah, fair enough.
That is true. Then he was an Oscar guy. And speaking of, like, I mean, this is produced by Canon Films, who are like legendary schlockmeisters. there's a good documentary on them that came out a few years ago. But they did produce like one Stallone movie, actually, and it was kind of a classic. I feel like maybe you've seen it, Jay. Over the Top. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. That was another movie I was going to recommend, but I knew I remember you and I talking about it.
Yes.
At one
point.
So I was like, okay, I'll pick something I'm pretty sure no one else has seen.
I've been meaning to see American Ninja for years, so thank you, Jay, for this gift.
The bounty that it is.
I've always been curious about Over the Top.
Well, it's so good.
It's really good. There's like ten montages of music. It's great.
It's such a good movie. Now, I'm not going to lie. I think I watched it like 2 years ago.
Again. To the script, because they kept saying, like, can you do it for this? And he's like, no. But eventually they offered him so much money, he had to do it.
Yeah, he was like, what? This sounds like trash.
Yeah.
More money. They're like, fine, we'll give you more money. And it ended up being an independently decent movie.
Independent success.
Kind of
a cult classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a cult classic now. For sure.
But yeah, like, but the whole thing about like, yeah, Canon Films was definitely like the go-to for certain types of movies. And like they handpicked Dudikoff. So you know they had, you know he was going to be big when they handpick you. Because up to this time, he was just a model.
Behind us.
So, like, this was, like, his first real role.
Due to coffee, we know the guy here in American Ninja. That's him. And
Action Jackson.
Yeah, I'm Jackson. Okay. I need to see that, too, with
he's not in Action
Rocky.
Jackson. I'm just saying, they called Jackson was supposed to be, like he was going to be considered, like, the Action Jackson. Because his name is Jackson in the movie. They're like, oh, and so, like, his nickname at the time was, like, Action Jackson, just from these movies. So it's kind of funny that it wasn't him as Action Jackson.
So anyway, so American Ninja, it starts there in some base in the Philippines, but they never actually say it's the Philippines.
We're in the whole movie where they were.
Yeah, so, I mean, based off of the context clues of the time, people understood where it was. But if you weren't part of that time, then yeah, you probably didn't get the hints and understood where it's from.
Okay, and so the beginning is, it feels like something out of an these because the soldiers are playing hacky sack.
Hacky sack's been around forever. What are you talking
about? I associate it with college students in the 90s.
I do too.
Because of PCU?
No, I've never seen that. What is that?
Jeremy Piven?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I just associate it with my own college student experience. And then this one guy shows at the base and he says, I'll show you girls how to play hacky sack. It's a little bit of toxic masculinity.
What about Patricia, the entire character?
There's that too.
She's like, my hair?
Yeah. Well, people are concerned about hair.
It's not exactly a giant leap forward for feminism.
I mean, I was concerned about my hair at that time. My luscious long lock.
Okay.
I'm not being facetious. I'm being... it's an accurate statement of my concern at
that. So a bunch of guys shooting at you, and you'd be worried about your hair?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
If someone ripped your skirt, would you also just flip out?
Well, that part I would be a little more concerned.
Yeah.
It was like a one warning. Like, by the way, I'm going to rip this so you can walk faster. It's like, no.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. Yeah. So they get ambushed by some nice ambushers, this convoy, who don't want to hurt anybody, these nice rebels, but then ninjas show up inexplicably.
Yeah, I didn't understand this. Were the ninjas like the backup for the rebels? And if it doesn't go well for the rebels, the ninjas will like help them out? Is that
what?
The idea?
No, the ninjas were hired by the bad guy.
But so were the rebels, weren't they?
This is post-war.
So? Why did the ninjas attack then?
No, so this is after... Because they were... The ninjas attacked because they were stealing the goods for... The bad guy.
But they're different than the rebels.
Yeah,
the rebels are also trying to steal the same thing, right?
Yes, the rebels, well...
They're trying to just kidnap the girl.
No, they were just trying to kidnap the girl for him. They were all paid people. They were all paid.
Who pays the rebels?
The bad guy.
Yeah, okay,
that's what I said.
No,
yes, they're in cahoots.
Some rebels are in cahoots. Certain other rebels are just like the people who just got like liberated. So two different types of rebels you have to take into.
Okay. So I thought that they explained it in the movie that the rebels were working with, is it Cortez? No, Ortega.
Ortega.
The Ortega. But Ortega also has a private army of ninjas. And the reason why the ninjas got involved was because our hero, Joe, messed with the plan.
Well, they were always Ortega's like bodyguard, but then... They become more involved when they... It's like you have a Jedi bodyguard, and then... It's like Darth Vader being the, like, Emperor Palpatine, or Grand Moff Tarkin's bodyguard, but then when he discovers Obi-Wan's on the ship, on the Death Star, he's like, I'm gonna go help him out. Like, I have to go do this.
They're supposed to be oversight, and then... Because they were only there to protect the goods and make sure that, like, the guards didn't... Like, the people stealing stuff didn't mess up. Once they started messing up, then they had to come in and take over the fight and actually make sure there were no witnesses. Because, I mean, so spoiler to the later on, we learned that, yeah, they're all in, everybody's in cahoots. The military or everybody is all bought off.
Everybody's dirty except for the our main character and his two buddies.
Yeah.
Right. So the ninjas are there just to be cool.
And as usual, the villains are much more interesting than the hero.
Well, that's not saying much. I'd say the secondary characters are more interesting than the hero.
Dare
you.
That's Michael Dudikoff, sir.
Dudikoff.
He's the dude, but not the Big Lebowski. Actually, yeah, I was surprised how much I liked his performance. I don't know, because he's like that's almost got like...
Stoic.
He's on the spectrum or something. I don't know. He's like a weird character. I don't know if it's like intentional.
You're just like Patricia, Rob. You're like I could change him.
Yeah. I mean,
he's so damaged. So I want to cuddle him.
Yeah. Like, what is their conversation going to be like 3 months from now? Or maybe he'll open up. I don't know. I am concerned about the future.
Well, I mean, at this point, he has
see
just
American
been
Ninja 2 and find out what happens.
Yeah.
I
should.
Probably will.
Yeah. Because at this point, so we learned that he had just been arrested, right? He had just been taken forced into the military. He has amnesia. He doesn't know anything or anyone. He got in a couple of fights.
He's got ninja skills, but he's a driver. Well, I assume he's that because it's like the least amount of responsibility.
Well, he was assigned. Like it's military, so they just assign you.
And I was confused about this too. Why doesn't he have any memory?
Because he was in an explosion. Yeah, him and his master were training.
I was honestly asleep, like literally asleep in that part because I fell asleep in the middle of this movie. There's like a flashback to it?
Yes.
Okay.
An hour and
Yeah, that was
it's really late that they
exploded. That was probably when I was asleep. Yeah. Anyway, he and his master were in an explosion.
Yeah, yeah, so they were doing mining.
Someone was building a tunnel, right, Jay?
Yeah, and an explosion happened, blowing up him and his master, separating them from each other, and then...
And also giving him amnesia.
Yeah, so he ended up with amnesia and blown and taken in by Random, who put him into something. I don't know.
He said he bounced in out of foster homes, got in trouble, blah, blah, blah. So that all makes sense. Something else I like that makes sense is when he gets chewed out by a sergeant... Actually, like, makes sense. Like, he was actually in the wrong. They were like, nothing on those trucks was worth people's lives. You shouldn't have attacked them.
But they were. There were missile launchers and all these things that, like, you don't want bad people to have in their hands.
Yeah, but, like...
He wasn't ordered to attack,
no,
right?
But he was... I mean, they were part of a convoy. I mean, the assumption is to protect the goods and protect the innocent life of Patricia.
If they had complied, she would have been safe.
Patricia wouldn't have been in danger if he hadn't started just punching... Like karate kicking people.
People and your if we just listen.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting.
Did you guys like the effeminate driver, Charlie?
Yeah.
Why is he effeminate? He's just a good, wholesome boy.
He's kind of effeminate.
But he's the one.
He's a California boy.
Yeah.
He's the one who said, I'm going to teach you how to play.
Yeah, but he just
didn't want to do work. So this was the easiest way to do it.
I assume that's why he's assigned to the girl. But she's like, there's no way she's going to do anything with him.
But that's only because everyone knows he's kind of a chud.
Okay, so we're not going through this like bit by bit, are we?
No.
Sorry about things I liked. I liked how they did the lost Japanese soldier on the island trope.
I did like the beginning. I did like the whole secret. That whole I thought the beginning was actually. I was watching it. And I was like, wow, this is actually pretty darn good so far. But then when they come back to the base and there's like way more movie, I was like, oh no,
you know, like the opening 20 minutes
the opening 20 minutes were really good. Yeah, I thought that was gonna be the whole movie.
I kind of thought that as well.
Yeah. A long chase kind of something,
yeah, like a like a 40 days what's that
40 days movie.
Yeah like on the run from ninjas and stuff, that would have been good.
Well, also they don't initially explain why the ninjas are chasing him. They just aren't. Also, no one seems surprised. Okay. Also, nobody seems surprised when ninjas show up. Also, the great line: the evidence concludes this work could only have been done by ninjas.
Yeah, that was a funny line. Yeah. And they're obviously Japanese ninjas because there's no other kind.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they specifically say Japanese ninja.
Are you familiar with the art of ninjutsu? And then the base character's like, "Of course I am."
He's like, "What?" And they're like, "Ninjutsu, the art of fighting." He says, "Of course I'm familiar with it."
No, Henry. He's like, how dare you even?
Why did you say otherwise? What? Yeah.
I can't believe did I hear it correctly. Did you say ninjutsu?
Yeah.
Jay, you would know. Wasn't this a time when Americans just loved ninjas and couldn't get enough of them?
This was part of like the time when they start to really get big.
When did this movie come out?
86. 86, 85.
86? Oh, God. It's even worse than I thought.
Oh, what do you think it was? Like 90?
I mean, I thought it was like 73.
What?
God.
No. What, the music and everything? Come on.
Come on.
And the hairstyles? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, yeah. They could have done more with that. Jay, how many times have you seen this movie?
Probably somewhere around 20.
That's insane.
I watched it, like, religiously when I was a kid.
That's nice.
Yeah, I like the part where they said there's an American ninja among them, and they said, "What, an American ninja? That's impossible." And they say, "I know, but it's true.
It happens."
Last thing is American ninjas.
And you're left when you go through the door.
Jeez.
Oh, there's a turret.
Rob,
they're
roll.
On you.
I don't know where to go.
Roll, Rob, roll. All
right, we'll get Matt in. So Ortega has a private ninja army. Also, I kind of liked it made sense that the other soldiers didn't like Joe either, because Jackson says, boys like you get people killed, like in Vietnam.
Oh, and like their buddies on the convoy. And I thought that was true. That was good motivation.
Yeah.
And then he beats him up, and then he's like, we're best friends now. I love you, man.
Yeah.
You learn about a person through fighting. That's all the martial artist philosophy. Learn about them. It's part of my mantra.
He also humiliates Jackson by putting a bucket on his head and still beating him up.
I thought he was going to hit him in the crotch. Is that what you thought? I don't know. The way he bends down.
There was a lot of crotch activity in this movie, by the way.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice any?
Not really.
What about the part where Jackson, in the final assault, where he's fighting the shirtless guy, and he grabs him by the nuts and squeezes him?
Yeah, that was... That, yeah. That
cool. I mean, it was the early, mid-80s. I mean, you also have... that happening in at the Kumite. You have it a lot where the big boys, what do? You just, who can absorb all this damage? You just bully their nuts.
I think they do that in Three Ninjas. Speaking of ninjas.
Three Ninjas. That. Yeah. It's a very big trope at the time between the mid-80s through the early 90s.
There is a flaw of doing ninjas, though, just because rushing to the end a little bit, but like there's just like anytime there's like ninjas fighting, it's just like a bunch of guys in black, and like they try to differentiate, like, oh, this guy has like a, you know, belt around him that's red, but you're like, I can't tell what's going on.
That's the only reason they have the red and the red pants. It was the only way you could distinguish them. But that's the whole point.
They established blue ninjas.
Yellow, and like bright red geese. Yeah,
the training seems very cool, though. I don't know, just seeing ninjas train is always fun, even if it's made.
Yeah. but that's the whole point. Ninjas are supposed to blend in. They're supposed to be turn invisible, so you're not supposed to be able to distinguish them.
Also, the training scene is great because like the leader just like chokes the guy and kills him. And like they say, like, this man is deeply honored to die at his hand. Like imagine going your whole life, like, can't wait to get killed by the boss.
Well, that's, I mean, not, Ninja Turtles does it too. Ninja Turtles does it too.
Where the Foot Clan are honored to be killed by Shredder.
Not even Shredder.
Oh, right.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
He doesn't kill him. You're talking about like the bald guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't kill him.
So I'm going to talk about my favorite part in the movie now, which comes right after the bucket fight, where Jackson is like, hey, let's go on the road and do fights for everybody. We can make so much money. And Joe says, I don't care about money. And Jackson's like, well, what do you care about? And then Patricia shows up.
He's like,
I was like, Joe is only motivated by one thing.
That's right.
So they get him out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, he doesn't really care about money. He's been homeless and on the streets, so he knows how to survive. He doesn't need the money. What he does need is a warm bed.
A woman.
Is
right?
He a ladies' man, Joe, or is he like a virgin? I really can't tell.
I think he's a virgin. I think he's never been in love before.
Yeah, I mean, he lived his whole entire life in the jungles with one poor Japanese guy who trained him how to stab.
Yeah, and she's literally the only woman in the entire movie.
On the base, yeah.
Well, that's lucky because she's quite attractive.
Actually, she's not the only woman in the movie. It shows some, like,
I know. I know Ortega has some floozies too, but Joe's not meeting them.
Yeah. Okay. So in order to go see her, does a very easy motorcycle jump to get out of the base?
How is he going to get back into the base? Do they worry
He's
about
a
that?
Ninja.
How is he going to get the bike back into the base? Is he also a ninja of bikes? I didn't understand.
He didn't explain that.
He just said ramp. He's a multi-talented.
You mean he's a Mary Sue? Because, he is.
He's not a Mary Sue because not everybody likes him. A lot of people straight up don't like him.
Really a disqualification? Okay, then Wesley Crusher is not a Mary Sue either because people dislike him.
Most people do like him, though.
Well, by the end of the movie, most people like Joe, too.
I don't know.
They all like him except for the bad guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Crusher, are they considered a Mary Sue? Or Mark
Mary
Sue,
Crusher's considered, he's considered like the ultimate Mary Sue.
He's just like so annoying. I mean, like, that's obviously separate, I guess, but I don't know.
He's annoying Mary because Mary he's so like, I can do it. I'm so smart.
He's like always right. I feel like a Mary Sue is supposed to be like an audience insert character, but I don't think, or a writer insert character, but Joe is not. I think
he definitely is.
Because he's so
spectrum, eh?
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was for me. I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
Exactly. Like, wouldn't it be cool if I like was a ninja and like I never talked and everyone was intimidated by me and people would try to fight me and then I would beat them up. So awesome!
Hell yeah!
Here's Zach, you can take it.
I'm good. So he sneaks out of the base and they go out to dinner and they immediately are spotted by like every officer in the base is also at the restaurant. Because there's only one restaurant in like the whole area. Yeah, I found that very funny.
How did she know? Because the guy said, I need to bring a message. And Joe says, I'll do it. And then he goes to the restaurant. She like,
no, he goes to her. It was her. No, she's the one who set it all up.
Yeah, but. How did she do it? Did she know that Joe would offer to take it?
She paid driver with Jackson to convince Joe to do it.
Okay.
They were in cahoots. Everyone's in cahoots with someone for something.
Remember the day is cahoots.
It means he's not a Mary Sue because he's getting manipulated so easily.
Okay, dang. You guys are really invested in him not being a Marty Sue.
Not Rey Skywalker. Okay.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. So they go out on the date. Patricia puts out on the first date, we discover. And his punishment for sneaking out of the base is to report to the motor pool, which is funny because he's a driver. So his punishment is to get back to work.
Well, he was supposed to be cleaning. He was a cleaner. And that's why they had to have the kid take his spot to clean.
That's why he was taking the trash out without replacing the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't bother anybody else? It bothered me.
So we get a lot of ninja fights. The law of ninjas is on full display in the movie. The more ninjas there are, the less dangerous they are. I feel like that's true. Jackson and Patricia team up. The dad turns out to be in on it. Any thoughts on that?
It's obvious twist.
It wasn't to me. For some reason, I was like, I don't know.
The moment he was like, let's sit back and relax and have a cup of coffee and wait for this all to blow over, I was like, oh, okay, that's it.
Do you think this movie was inspired by the Iran-Contra scandal?
Dude, I Googled because I thought the exact same thing. It's not. Because it came out before the Iran-Contra.
A lot of it was because of the corruption during the whole war in the Philippines and Vietnam. Like all the shady shit that happened during that.
At least it came out before it was like the news came out about it. So like maybe somehow they like did their own research and like...
They figured it out. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a true Iran-Contra, but it's pretty close.
It's super similar.
Okay, so they get the reunion with the mentor.
You bastard.
The one actual Japanese guy in the movie is the mentor.
I'll call it again.
Colonel dies, Jackson blows up Ortega, and then the movie ends with Joe just staring at the camera.
Yeah. Where do you want?
Yeah.
What? What happened with him and Patricia? They get together.
And they get together and feel all right.
Well, she's like, Joe, I love you. And then there's more explosions.
I do like the part where he gets the stinger missile out of the out of the case.
I like how they just blow up Ortega. They don't even try to bring him in alive.
Yeah,
but they don't do the shot of like him like screaming as like the rocket comes at him. Like, so you're kind of just like, wait, did he just die? Like, what just happened?
Yeah. Presumably presumably he did die.
He wasn't even like that bad of a villain. He just was like, I want money.
Greedy mob boss buying everybody.
That's right.
Joe the hero just had to take him down, had to ruin the business.
That's right. We all would have made some money.
I like the part where the US Army shows up and it's like a three-way fight. The gangsters, the ninjas, and the army.
Pretty cool, gonna be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to Jackson and his charisma,
of course,
convincing everyone to come fight. It wasn't because they like Joe, it was because they like Jackson.
That's right.
What about they want justice for their buddies?
No, it was only, well, probably, but it's only because Jackson convinced people.
He was very
sensei.
He was very charismatic.
He was their martial arts instructor.
Yeah. I've been teaching martial arts in this man's army for 20 years or whatever, in the British army.
Got to go back, repair whatever damage they've done. Well, we just got to get in the storm. Yeah. Do you like the part where he's got the, it was very, it was very 80s, like where he's got the giant, he's got the 50 caliber on the back of the, on the back of the Jeep. They're just driving around.
Mm-hmm. It was great. Yeah, that one fight scene was pretty good.
I think I was asleep with this part too. Where did Joe get the ninja outfit?
From his sensei.
Just there. Like, what? How did this come about?
They talk about how Ortega found him in the woods by himself, not talking, and then
Joe just happens to get stationed at this exact spot where his.
Well, it's all it's in the same town. That's where they found Joe, like in town, and that's where like all that stuff happened. Like, he wasn't like brought to the States. Like, he was on the island. He was taken to basically where the base is for the foster care and all that stuff.
I guess the Philippines / fake Japan are just really tiny.
Well, I mean, during the Philippines war, all that stuff, there are a lot of Asians were everywhere, including senseis.
They don't really establish what happened to his real parents, do they?
They died at some point. There, no one knows how or why.
Great.
Did you watch American Ninja 2 through 4? Do we get any further backstory?
2 through 4. There's 4. Wow. You learn more about this great man, Joe.
We get lore dumps? Yeah, what the hell's that go?
You get a little more, not a ton more.
What's there to know? He's the American Ninja.
Yeah, but... Yeah, what else you want to know about badass Joe?
His last name?
His first name? Anything else to say about American Ninja?
Good choice, Jay. It was very different.
It definitely was formative. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Is that the first love of your life?
Were you? Is it your Patricia?
I mean, oh. Speaking of Patricia, I was surprised she didn't take her clothes off.
Why?
Because it's a rated R movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
I've seen Under Siege.
Also, like, canon movies tend to have a lot of that.
But this was a weird period where a lot of action movies didn't have that. I mean, what the fuck is the movie with the Kumite? With Jean-Claude?
Kickbox or Bloodsport?
Sport, yeah. Like, they don't have females get naked even though there's sex scenes and stuff like that. Like, so you, like, this is a weird time in, like, action films where they don't have necessarily female nudity.
AIDS and Reagan and such, yes.
It seems like it would have been a movie for kids, but there was all this swearing and a little bit of blood, maybe a tiny little bit.
A little bit. Not really. No, there was no blood in this.
Yeah, there's no gore, that's for sure.
Yeah, because everyone gets stabbed and there is no blood shown in this movie.
Yeah.
I should watch Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter, because Patricia's in that. I looked her up later. I was like, what was she in? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
She's in the best Friday the 13th.
I didn't find Patricia that memorable.
How?
No, she was terrible.
How double dare you?
I'm with you, Jay. She's an angel.
But yeah, this movie was definitely formative. I mean, this was when I was like heavy into martial arts and doing all my stuff and training seriously with my Korean instructor who maybe sit in. So I'm going to recommend watching Best of the Best.
Okay.
And that. It's another martial arts movie. American team versus Korea and the world championship. So
Robert, yeah, I remember you almost had us watch it.
Yeah. And if you watch it and then you watch the Korean training scenes, montages, I that was the crap I had to do when I was five, between the ages 5 and 7.
All right.
Because, because my instructor was hardcore straight from Korea, who used to teach in Korea. But my family is like, hey, you're a teacher? Well, teach him and my brother. Yeah. Oh, the pain. The pain is suffering. It was great.
No, the pain. I put a change in my name.
Made me the man I am today.
Yes.
Well, what's in a name?
I want to see everybody. Should we move on to questions of the day?
Sure. Let's do it.
Do it. And do it. First, you know, I was watching first. House of Dragon came for you guys.
Wow. They do it.
Incestuous doing it.
What?
I haven't watched any House of the Dragon. Look at me.
It's actually been really good, season 3.
Heard they redeemed themselves.
All right, I'll check it out. All right, question number one. Very appropriate to our time. The city of New York said that everyone needs to set their thermostats to a certain degree to save energy and help the power grid. So the question is, it's a heat wave and 95 degrees outside. Uh-oh. What do you set your thermostat to?
Nobody asked me to set my thermostat to anything.
So what do you set it to?
We have it at 73. I think. Yeah. Now the question is, if they asked me to set it to 78, would I do it?
What's your answer?
I think I would, but it's not always up to me. There's other people who live in the house too.
Yeah, but you're the man of the house.
Am I though?
No, I don't think so.
Our country needs us. We're setting that thermostat to 78. You're from a hot area. You can handle it.
What I tell her is, like, if she's too hot, just start taking clothes off.
So and I guess I need both at night and during the day.
Well, we don't change it at night the same.
That's crazy. That's even crazier.
I know. How about you? I stationed Zebra over there.
Yeah. Well, when you have a baby.
Oh,
shut up, Matt. Stay asleep.
I stationed Zebra years before you had a baby.
That's not true.
Okay.
You seriously have to have it at a certain temperature for the child to be safe. And we also got a new HVAC system, which is very effective. So it is kind of cold.
That is interesting. Yours in my house are almost the same, but yours feels much colder. Maybe I'm wasting energy.
I think it's more.
Don't you have an old HVAC? Wow.
Yeah, I guess kind of. But it's in good condition.
I got the reaction. I will say that my room during the day is set to 77.
Wow.
And at night, it's at 76.
Wow.
You're really doing your part for the...
So I am just a hero.
I'm doing my part.
I'm just an incredible specimen. Rob?
So you sleep in 76 degree weather?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably pretty close to that. Yeah, I mean, I used to be like a 71, 72 guy. I would just blast that shit. But now that I have a house, I have to like... and like it's like old and bricky and it just doesn't maintain temperature very well. So I just kind of have to like deal with it being like 75-ish, I would say.
I will say that my siblings and I grew up in a house without air conditioning. So I don't know. I'm kind of used to like it's weird for me to sleep in cold areas. Yeah.
So like you're European?
I guess so. Yeah. So yeah, it just doesn't bother. It doesn't really bother me.
When I do have a place that I can regulate my temperature, would normally set mine at like 70 to 72. Ooh. And then at night, like 72 to 73. But here where I'm at and I don't really control things, it's almost always 80 degrees in here and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's too warm even for me.
It has changed me so that I'm way more tolerant to heat now. So that's probably a good thing. But if I could, I would definitely drop it. I bought multiple AC units to try to drop it, and it barely drops to like 78. And it feels, I'm like, okay, that's not that bad. But I have like 6 fans always going at some point. So I try to keep it down. Like at night, I would ideally like it at like 72 or 70, between 72 and 74. No, probably 72. If I could keep it at 70, I would love it. Unfortunately, that is not my life.
Sad. All right, everybody weighed in.
I think so.
I believe so.
See now, forever hold your peace.
All right, question number 2. We may have already done this one, so I'm sorry in advance if we have. What is your favorite Beatles song, and why is it Maxwell Silverhammer?
I actually was reading about Maxwell Silverhammer, and apparently Paul McCartney wanted it to be like When I'm 64, like a joke song, and nobody else liked it, but he like kind of shoved it down their throats, and it kind of contributed to the break of the Beatles.
I think that's a little bit of an overstatement.
The Yoko Ono of songs, okay.
Yeah.
What is my favorite Beatles song?
Yeah, I didn't think about this ahead of time, so there's a lot to choose from.
I'm pretty sure we did have this.
I actually don't think we've done it before.
I'm pretty sure we have, because I couldn't think of anything, so I just said Yellow Submarine.
That also doesn't sound familiar.
Because honestly, I like the Beatles, but I don't remember what their song titles are. I could not tell you a Beatles song other than Yellow Submarine off the top of my head.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I like the classic up-tempo ones from the early days.
Oh, wow.
Probably I Want to Hold Your Hand. That's a good one.
By the way, there's another bit of Beatles trivia I learned reading Wikipedia. None of them liked the song 8 Days a Week, and they never played it live, except for like one recording.
That's a good song.
Lost. Yeah.
That's a great one. What's wrong with them?
They're just elitist.
They're terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
They don't meet your heroes, I guess, or read their Wikipedia articles.
You know what's funny about me not knowing any of the songs? I used to own their collection, like the CD.
There's so many songs.
Yeah, they used to sell it in a giant pack. It was like $150-something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had it. So I think I listened to it once, and I was like, yeah, I'm done with this, and I put it away.
I think I might have to change mine to 8 Days a Week, because that is a really good one.
I think I like the one that's like, hey, you got to hide your love.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I think of the one from the movies.
There's a good Eddie Vedder cover of that, yeah. Help.
Who?
Yeah.
No, the one from the movie Help, not Help specifically.
All right, one more.
Take your will and trash it.
Take your will and shove it. Take this job and shove it. All right, question number 3. Forget where this came.
I'm sorry, what did Rob say?
I forgot to chime in. Yeah, I mean, I thought I did it too. But I'm gonna go with, it's kind of a hackneyed choice, but I always go with the cheesy ballads. I'm gonna go with Yesterday. It's like 2 minutes long.
You know, Trevor, you probably know the original lyrics of that.
Wait, no, I don't think I do.
The original lyrics was scrambled eggs, baby, how I love your legs, and then John.
What?
Have you seen the tweet that's like the average Paul McCartney song is like, the average Paul McCartney song is like Terry the Plumber Man, he'll fix your pipes, yeah. And the average John Lennon song is like, you know, something much more like convoluted and
talking about wolves and stuff. Yeah,
he's like the whisper of your eyes, you know, compels me to dream a dream or something. I don't know.
It sounds about right. So I hope I didn't ruin the song for you, right?
Kind of did, but like, I mean, he likes the wacky lyrics. It's fine. Kind of his, like, imagine, really.
Yeah.
True.
All right. Question number three. I got this from somewhere, but I forget from. Would you rather be in a famous family or be the only one in your family who's famous?
Too bad neither is an option.
Nope, you gotta be famous. So which one would you? Which one?
I'll be famous.
The only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? This is an op. I don't know. It seems obvious to pick the more famous one. Then you can rub it in their faces. Come on.
Well, but if you don't want fame, then you can just be like a Kennedy, right? Yeah. Kind of like hiding in the background.
Mine yeah. being a Hunter Biden. That's true.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
For that reason, I would pick the famous family. Yeah. If you have to be famous, then might as well.
Yeah.
Try to blend in.
And then famous people are like hated, but you could be like, it's not my fault. You know, it's my family member who's famous and I'm just
born into it.
Yeah. It depends on what you're famous for, right? Yeah. Would you rather be Kim Kardashian or Khloe Kardashian? I think I'd rather be Khloe.
They're all terrible, but sure. Yeah, why not?
I mean, Khloe's also famous.
Yeah, but not as famous. I think she could probably like get by without people noticing who she is.
I guess it's just like a famous family versus everyone in the family is famous, right? Like, I think the Kennedys is a good example because the family is famous, but not everybody in it is famous.
Right. So what would you say, Anna?
Definitely a famous family.
I don't want to be famous.
Famous family, you can mooch off of them.
I mean, if you're
all assuming you can mooch, I don't, is that guaranteed?
You at least benefit from nepotism.
If you were famous, would you let us mooch off?
If I was famous, sure. Yeah, I would. For sure.
That should be a question of the day.
It would come with a price.
What's the price?
If you were famous and wealthy, would you give your mind to your family?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I'd have to watch The Expanse. I guess I'd be part of a famous family.
I just don't want to be over.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be famous. Lots of people. That's the American way.
I don't even care about being famous. I just don't want to be like the one that's forgotten.
Yeah.
And everything sucks in your life.
Reasonable.
Yeah. That's my main motivation in being famous.
I should be like referenced back to the famous person every time. They're like, oh, you're that person's brother. Well, you'd be known as somebody's brother, which I guess you are now because you're like, you're Zach's brother. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, isn't your sister-in-law famous?
Whose sister?
Anyway, Jay has this relates to this on a level that we don't.
He actually has a famous family member.
Yeah,
I do.
Yes, sort of.
I mean, I guess they're well known. I don't think anyone knows I'm related to her, though.
Well, in some ways, that's the best of both worlds, then.
Right.
Are you going to divulge this on the podcast?
No, I've talked about how my sister's been a CEO of multiple companies and a former model. Yeah. The movie that potentially. It is screenwritten. Yes.
Who's going to play you, Jay?
I want to play my brother. I want to play my brother.
Do you think your brother's going to have a big role?
No, no, not at all.
Who's the Korean guy from Fast and Furious? You should get that guy.
Han?
Yeah.
The person who plays Han?
Yeah.
Song Kang?
Song Kang.
Is that everything? Do we do three questions?
Yeah, that was three questions.
We missed that one, the other one.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you all for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us in August for the beginning of Lanterns.
Oh, well,
this show's going to be so bad.
It's going to be so great.
It's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. It might be the worst show we've ever watched.
You guys think it will be worse than Swamp Thing?
Yes, I do.
Three of Titans?
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll find out. We'll see you then. It's every week at twitch.tv/
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, questions about you. Come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. Tuesday night gaming with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they